Welcome to Total Talks, the podcast where we explore the evolving landscape of clinical trials and highlight the voices working to create inclusive and innovative research environments. I'm your host, Sophie Tahiri. Today we'll be discussing the critical role of diversity action plans, or DAPs, in clinical research and how they're shaping the future of drug and device development. Our guest today, Laquita Gilbert, has extensive experience developing and implementing FDA-compliant diversity action plans and is going to share insights on how organizations can prepare to meet these new requirements. Laquita is the Assistant Project Manager for Clinical Operations with a focus on diversity services here at Total Diversity. Laquita, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and hello, Sophie. I'm excited to be here.
We're so happy to be chatting with you today. Laquita's passion, for our listeners who might not know, for creating equitable opportunities in clinical research is deeply personal, stemming from a family experience that shaped her career and commitment to this work. And I'm excited for her to share some more about her journey and the thoughtful approaches she's taken to designing FDA-compliant diversity action plans.
Yes. So again, thank you so much, Sophie, for having me. It's truly an honor to be here today and to share not only my personal journey, but what really led me to even pivot into this space, you know, in the first place.
Sure. So Laquita, I'd love to start by giving you the floor to share your story. I know your mother's experience was a major turning point for you. Do you mind sharing with us a little bit more about that and how it inspired your work in clinical trials?
Yeah. So my mom, Sonia Horton, so she's always been and just continues to be the driving force behind my passion and my desire to work in clinical research. So my mom passed away in 2013, and she was diagnosed with a rare form of kidney cancer, which has by far been the hardest day of my life. But just to kind of rewind time a bit, during, you know, her diagnosis and all of that, she was offered to participate in a clinical trial. And I remember being so against it. I mean, I was young, I was in college. And so at the time, I didn't know anything, you know, about clinical trials. The only thing that I had ever heard about it was how my community, the Black community, experienced so much mistreatment in research. I mean, think about like the Tuskegee syphilis study, you know, that was the first thing that kind of came to mind. So I just couldn't bring myself to understand why she would want to participate in something that had such an unjust history. And also, on another hand, something that really didn't guarantee a cure. But one thing I will say that my mom told me that sticks with me to this day is that she wanted to stand in the gap for others. And that's just the type of woman that she was. You know, I learned so much during her time participating in that trial. And I think that it just forever changed my mindset and how I view medical research.
Wow, Laquita, that's thank you for being so vulnerable and for sharing that. And of course, for saying your mother's name and, you know, keeping her memory alive and, you know, sharing why the driving force behind your passion and why you're so involved and passionate about clinical trials.
Exactly. I mean, her courage in those moments, I just feel like it opened my eyes, and I'm a firm believer in things happening for a reason. And I think it made me realize that while, yes, clinical trials are about advancing science, it's so much more than that. You know, these aren't just, you know, numbers. These aren't participants. These are real people with real stories. So every person, regardless of their background or race, should be included, but they should also feel safe, you know, in making that choice to participate. And, you know, for me, I just want to make sure that every family, just like mine, have the same chance that my mom did to fight for more time, but also to make sure that their participation means something.
Sure. And it's clear that you're helping to break the stigma that's, you know, associated with clinical trials, and also make sure that clinical trials are set up for all people. And again, just thank you so much for sharing your powerful and your incredibly moving story. It's so clear that your passion for this work is, it comes from a really raw and personal place. And if you don't mind me pivoting a little bit, translating that passion into action, you've taken some steps to ensure that clinical trials are more inclusive and accessible for underrepresented communities. And I would say one of the biggest milestones that you've achieved is actually developing diversity action plans that align with FDA requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about, you know, what it takes to build a diversity action plan, because I'm sure our listeners are really excited to hear about that, do you mind first providing some background about the FDA's draft guidance for our listeners?
Yeah. So with the release of the FDA's draft guidance, the clock has definitely started ticking on enacting FDORA. And so FDORA just really stands for the Food and Drug Omnibus Reform Act. Now, this legislation is enacted 180 days after the final guidance is released, which is a major milestone. And all it is it requires the FDA to improve diversity in clinical trials, and it mandates that diversity action plans for all phase three, you know, and pivotal studies have to be, you know, submitted.
Okay. Thank you so much for providing that critical context. And now that we all know the background, let's talk a little bit about how you approach creating your first diversity action plan. So what would you say the initial steps were? And then how did you balance, you know, obviously being compliant with the FDA's guidance, but also staying true to your vision of what should be included in a diversity action plan for your clients and different sites that you're working with?
Yeah, so when I began developing the first diversity action plan, I think that for me, I'm just trying to think back on it. So the first step really was just making sure that you're conducting an in-depth research about the disease itself. So you can't do anything, you know, before you don't, you know, before you know all you need to know about what it is that you're providing a plan for. So that's sure. really helpful for me, you know, and so just finding out what the disease is, you know, what are the symptoms, what are the prevalence, who does it affect, why does it affect them? That's usually how my brain, you know, likes to work with asking those foundational questions and to really just truly understand the therapeutic area. Now, from there, you want to look at your study protocols, any existing policies. You know, you want to just figure out, hey, do you have a travel policy in place? Are there any stipends? Are you taking care of the participants? You know, any kind of participant support? All of those things and all of those initial reviews really just allowed me to kind of identify the gap in how these diverse populations were being reached.
Okay, so do your research. Ask the critical questions, do a gap analysis of sorts. Are there any tools that have helped you accomplish this?
Oh, for sure. And I'm not just saying this because I work for Total either, but one tool that I will say that made a significant difference was the diversity site assessment tool. And I've actually, Sophie, talked with other people as well who've reached out to me on LinkedIn, and they're using the DSAT well with, you know, developing their plans. But I would say the DSAT that was authored by our CEO, Diana Foster, was just really amazing. I mean, we had these sites complete the DSAT, and with doing so, we were unable to uncover some of their strengths and weaknesses, you know, figure out what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, what they can improve on. And we also followed up with deeper questions based on what the DSAT revealed, which I believe really just helped us tailor our approach to each specific site. And with that, you know, throughout the process, we also worked closely with the sponsor as well, just to make sure that not only was the plan robust, but also actionable and meant something to that sponsor and how they could use it internally.
Sure. And that's incredibly insightful. You know, just hearing you speak, I imagine it's a little bit of a balancing act, particularly because the FDA guidance on diversity plans is still evolving. But how do you manage the site expectations, you know, with, of course, the ever-changing nature of this new world that we're facing? So I would like to ask you, what are some common challenges that organizations might face when they're trying to create a plan that is both actionable and compliant?
Let's see. One of the common challenges, I would say one of the major challenges is really just making sure that all of the aspects of the diversity action plan align with the FDA guidance. And I say that because I don't know if you've had a chance to see the guidance or read the guidance, but it's, sure. I mean, 26 plus pages long. It's a lot. you know, and a lot of medical scientific jargon in there as well. But basically, we tackled this by breaking down the FDA requirements piece by piece, line by line, and really just creating a template, you know, that we could use with any plan. And that's going to include every component that's going to be necessary for submission. Now, this is a very detailed and meticulous approach, but I believe that doing this just really ensures that nothing is going to be overlooked and that the plan is going to meet the regulatory expectations while still staying true to, you know, our goal of increasing diversity in clinical trials.
Absolutely. And it's very clear that diversity is no longer just an ideal, you know, we hope for scenario, but it's now becoming an operational requirement. And not too soon. You know, we've been waiting for this for a while. Do you mind sharing an example of how Total Diversity has supported clients in implementing these diversity action plans?
Absolutely. So one project that comes to mind is a project that we have just recently completed, but it was for an ultra rare disease. And with this project, again, we began by using the DSAT. You know, the sponsor had identified maybe 9 sites, I believe, that were participating in the DSAT. So with this tool, we were able to recognize the site strengths, their areas of improvement, you know, and these sites were all over. So it wasn't just the United States. These were European sites as well. So it was really cool to kind of see the differences in just, you know, the law and how that changes and all of those different factors that kind of go into play on how diverse populations work. But after reviewing the data, we conducted a follow-up interview with all of these sites to just really understand a little bit more on the why, you know, why are they doing it this way, or you know all of those things. So it really just allowed us to then provide those site-specific recommendations that address those recruitment barriers. And one thing I'll say too is that with a tailored diversity action plan in place, that's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of these sponsors and companies just, they know they want to do better, you know, but they don't know where to start. And I think it's just really helpful to have that DAP in place, because now we can support the client through that implementation phase. And we've done so with this client, and we've helped them to look at what they're currently offering and optimize that while also making sure that the sites are meeting and even exceeding some of their enrollment targets.
That's really incredible. I appreciate your holistic approach to this and, you know, including the site feedback, even beyond just the DSAT information, which, you know, might be a little bit more quantitative, but also incorporating that qualitative feedback as well so that you have a well-rounded response. I think that's huge. And it really highlights the value of having a little bit more of a structured approach, but also, you know, allowing some flexibility within that approach to really get the nuance of both the regulatory compliance bit and the community engagement. You have a very holistic picture overall. And so I think that's wonderful. So Laquita, thank you again so much for sharing your story and your expertise with us today, you know?
Yeah, thank you. It really is my pleasure. Sophie, I just appreciate the opportunity to just even talk about my story, what even led me here. And I think it's just, you know, a full circle moment for me. And it's important for all of us to just take a moment sometimes to really just remember your why. I mean, whether you fell into research or whether you, you know, tried your best to get into research, we're here now. And we need to remember our why. We need to remember, you know, the bigger picture here. It's so easy to get caught up into like those day to day and you get into your routine. But just remember that these are not just participants. These are people. And, you know, you want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to ensure that they are able to participate in a trial that is for them and that will, you know, be for them. So thank you.
Yeah. Very important to remember your why. I certainly have mine in mind. And, you know, maybe we'll do a podcast episode on that at some point. But it's a very clear reminder that, you know, diversity action plans are not going away. They're going to become a cornerstone of the clinical trial design process and execution, and getting ahead of it and understanding, you know, what goes into it and the best methodical approach to executing one correctly. What does that look like? And hopefully we've been able to answer some questions for our listeners today. I did want to say, though, If you're still unsure about where to start or you feel that you need support in developing your plan, please reach out to Total Diversity. We're absolutely here to guide you every step of the way from the strategic planning stage all the way to on-the-ground execution. But Laquita, thank you again, and thank you to our listeners for taking the time to hear us chat about diversity action plans. Until next time, keep pushing for progress and making strides in the world of clinical trials.